And I want to continue with what I started last week. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I just want to read one verse out of that chapter. He said in verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, "For bodily exercise is profitable little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." And we began last week talking about the life that is to come. we saw last week, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but this life has to do with the eternal life of Jesus Christ. The life that now is our life. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's eternal life. In other words, I have eternal life because I have Christ. Christ is the only one that hath immortality. I want you to look with me and hang on. Let's just hang on here. You don't need to, but turn back to Romans and look in Romans, eternal life. And notice in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, the life that now is and that which is to come. Well, that which is to come is our eternal life. But we already have it in the life that we have in the flesh. I have eternal life. Now, notice in Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to begin in verse 20. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace doeth much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness." That is not your righteousness. You have no righteousness. Your righteousness, your goodness, when you compare it to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says your righteousness, your goodness, is as filthy rags in His sight. The righteousness in the verse is the righteousness of God. Back in chapter 3, look in chapter 3 and notice in verse 21. In verse 21, Romans chapter 3, verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that" what? "Believe. For there is no difference." Look in verse 26. "To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Believe what? That He was the Son of God? No. Believe that He was a good example and we should follow His example? No. What are you to believe about Jesus Christ? He died on the cross. That is true. Psalm says, out of the mouth of babes, you know. He died on the cross. Now, it's not just that He died. So I put it up here on the board, and I'm going to draw it up here. But the Bible said that He was numbered with the transgressors. There He was in between two thieves. Cross was for criminals. the capital punishment for a criminal was death by the cross. They put bad men on the cross. Barabbas was a bad man. Barabbas was in prison. He was in jail. He was to be crucified. He had committed murder, insurrection. He was a thief, a robber. He was the baddest of the bad. And they had made a cross, and they were going to put Barabbas, the criminal that he was, to death on that cross for the crimes that he committed. But you know what happened? They let Barabbas go. And Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, the Son of Jehovah, took His cross. Jesus Christ never committed a crime. He never committed sin. He had no evil thought. He walked a perfect life in this earth. He never had a bad thought. He never said nothing that was wrong. He went to that cross, and yet on that cross, He died the death of a criminal. Now, who's He dying it for? Who's the criminal in this building here? We are. And He took your place. You say, well, I'm not a bad person. Yes, you are. Why are you a bad person? Because you came from bad people. The Bible said that there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. The Bible said there's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, we do good deeds to other people, and people say, well, he's a good person. He's a good man. She's a good woman. And we do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you put your life up beside the Lord Jesus Christ, you see how bad you are. Can you get in one day without having a foolish thought? I guarantee you, there's nobody in this building can go 24 hours and not have a foolish thought. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the very thought of foolishness is sin. I guarantee you, we can't go without covenant something. Do you realize the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet? And we do it all the time. We try to get around it by saying, well, I want one like it. Just like June coveted Kevin's fire pit he put on Facebook. Had that fire out there in that big old pit, and she showed that to me and said, I want one. Y'all quit posting stuff and I could rest. So what I'm talking, that's just human nature, because you got a nature about you that you come closer to tell a lie than tell the truth. If you knew the truth was going to get you in trouble and the lie was going to get you out of it. Now come on. You know, we all have it. We all got it. We're not no good. So He went to that cross. He became what you are. He's the righteous Son of Almighty God. And so when I trust that, I believe that. I believe that He died for all of my sins. I received that. Then His righteousness is imputed to me. Now, what's the word imputed? It's put to my account. The score settled between me and God. There's no longer an enmity between me and God. There's nothing that can separate me and God. Why? The only thing that kept us separated anyway was my unrighteousness. So Jesus Christ became what I am. He became my unrighteousness on the cross, and God made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. And when I received Christ and I believed the message of the gospel, then I am righteous. I have His righteousness. Now look at that verse again in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, he said in verse 21. Look back in verse 20 again. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that it might be magnified. The law magnifies the offense. You go down the road, the law says drive 55, you drive 65, 70, and then there's blue lights coming in behind you. What has happened? The law condemned you. The law caught you, and now you got to pay the penalty. Well, the law caught us. The law magnified. The law shows me of what I am. The law says the soul that sinneth shall die. The law says I'm no good. The law says if you break me, the law, in one little part, you have broken it all. And there's about 600 and some of them in the Bible. The laws of dietary laws, there's 10 commandments, there's how to grow your crops, how to wear your clothes. I mean, they're all in there, and we all break them. But look on. He said, but where sin is abounded, magnified, grace did much more abound. Well, where's the grace at? Here's the grace. This is the grace. This is where God shows how much He loves you. Look what He says. Verse 21, that is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what's reigning today? Grace is reigning today. You know God today is not condemning men. He's not judging men. Why? He judged His Son in AD 33. God's offering the world. He's offering everybody in this building. He's offering His grace to you. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. God has favor toward you through Jesus Christ. God Almighty will give you His eternal life if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. The life that we have, look in Romans chapter 6, look in verse 23. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, you can have eternal life. You can leave out of this building today having the assurance of eternal life. You can leave out of here knowing that your sins have been paid for. You can leave out of here today a free person, a member of the body of Christ, if you'll just believe. Isn't that fascinating? That's wonderful news. When have you ever believed? When did you ever trust? When did you ever receive? Look back at Romans 5 one other time in verse 11. Come to verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The word atonement is a sacrifice. It's to be atoned for. It has the payment. Jesus Christ was the atoner. And He atoned you. He was the sacrifice. He was the payment for your sins. The wages of sin is death. You can't die for your sins. You'll end up in the lake of fire. So Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of Almighty God, made the payment for you. You owe God something. Don't you understand? You've broken His commandments. You're a criminal. God didn't have you to be birthed into this world just so you could just live. He has a better purpose than that. He wants you to have eternal life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The payment of sins is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The second thing I want you to know in our life to come is not only the eternal life that we have and we're going to enjoy, but is our inheritance. You're in Romans. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Our inheritance. Notice what he says there in verse 17. Our inheritance. You have an inheritance. Look in Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says there, children, we're the children of God, verse 16, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know what an heir is. Someone leaves the will and testament and they go and they pass on, then they're children. It's divided up. That's what he's talking about. Folks, we have an inheritance out there in the heavens. Notice this thing. Turn over with me and look in Ephesians. Just go to your right and you'll cross into 1 Corinthians, Galatians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice what he says there in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in whom, Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Look in verse 14, which is the earnest of thy inheritance. The earnest of our inheritance would be the Spirit of God. And back in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Look in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. There's something that's a glory about that inheritance. Now, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and you receive Him, believing that He died for you on that cross, if you do that right now, while I'm talking, it don't matter, right now you can be saved while I talk. If you do this, then Jesus, you are in the body of Christ. You have an inheritance. Now, ain't no doubt about it, you got the inheritance. Nothing can ever take that inheritance away. look with me, but there is something. Turn over to Colossians and look in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. Notice in verse 23. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect to persons. There is a reward that is associated with that inheritance, and it's glorious. It's something that has to do with glory out there. And that has to do with your works as a Christian. Now look, turn over with me to Titus. Just keep going to the right. Look in Titus. In Titus chapter 3. And notice in Titus chapter 3, our inheritance. And I'm going to read verse 4. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You don't get it by doing good work. But according to his own mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That would be Christ. Which he shed on us. The washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Everything that Christ went through, he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There is something about that hope. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, one thing, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, which is another thing. They're not the same. The hope has to do with the glory, and it's the hope of the eternal life, and it's connected with eternal life. Now I want you to see the reward. Look in this thing. Turn back with me to, the reward, Ephesians chapter 1. Now you have an inheritance. The life that now is and that which is to come. There's a life that's coming. People want to live and be concerned with this life. This life only. That's because it's tangible. You can see it, you can feel it, you can touch it, you can smell it. I mean, anything that has to do with your flesh, that's what people concern themselves with. And they don't give no thought to the life that they're headed for. The life that you're headed for is eternal. It's never going to end. This life here is going to end. In fact, before we read in Ephesians, turn back and look in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 16. Folks, if, you know, I look now, and I look at you young people. I can remember, you might not think so, but I can remember when I was your age. I can remember getting my driver's license, getting the ticket 2 weeks after I got it, too. I remember that real well. Back then, you didn't just mail it in. You had to go before the judge. I remember that. I remember going down to the courthouse. I remember Daddy and me standing before the judge. All I was doing was 66 and a 55. I remember how fast I was going. Of course, he got me going uphill. Hard telling what I was doing on that flat land. So, well, why are you saying all that? I was young. David said, I was young once and now I'm old. Folks, I want to tell you something. It seems like yesterday when that happened. Now, I'm 48 years old. I believe I lied, didn't I? I mean, folks, time flies. And the older you get, the quicker it goes. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't come back, I'm leaving this world. Now don't go around and weeping and crying for me. Brother, I'm going to be in the presence of God Almighty. I'm going to be in that new body. I'm going to be asleep in the Lord. I'm going to have the best peace that I ever have. So don't worry about that. They say old Brian kicked the bucket and said, nope, he just moved to another place. I have that peace. I have that assurance that Jesus Christ is my Savior, paid for it all. I have no fear. I don't worry about that. Now, I don't want to go. But when it comes, that's fine. I'm trying to get you to understand something. This life is temporal. It's an appointed unto man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. What are you going to do when you draw your last breath and you stand before the judge? And you're headed that direction. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though an outward man perish, our outward man perish, that's this body, it's dying every day. I mean, we're aging every day. No matter what we try to do, we can go to the doctors and get the sags and the wrinkles and all that, try to pull them out. We can color our hair to get the gray out. We can do all we want to do, but I'm telling you, you're getting older. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, who is that guy looking back at me? He doesn't look like. I go in there and I'll look at that picture June's got when I was. It's amazing. It's going to perish. Look what he said. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now watch it, look at it, underline it. For the things which are seen, our old outward body, our things we can touch, our things we can see, all of this stuff. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal in the heavens out there. For we know, verse 1, chapter 5, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Why don't people prepare for the life that's a coming? We worry about this life down here.
We worry about and fret over our life, our jobs, our everything that we do, our families and everything. We worry whether or not we look good. We worry about whether we got good this to wear, that to wear, if our hair's right or if it's not right. I mean, we concern ourselves with this life down here. We work to get a paycheck to go spend it. Work, work, work with this life down here and never give a thought to the life that you're going to up there or out there. And by the way, what are you prepared? Which way are you prepared to go? There's only one way. There's not a bunch of ways leading to the same place. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. The reward of the inheritance has to do with taking our seat. Look with me in Ephesians, where I told you to go in Ephesians. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, we read verse 18. The glory of our inheritance. And what verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Do you realize, see that heavenly places? Where is Christ at? He went to the cross. They put Him in a tomb. And on the third day, what happened? He arose. He stayed on this earth for 40 days and 40 nights over here teaching His disciples. He goes back into heavens. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen sees Him up there. But in Acts chapter 9, Paul sees Him brighter than the noonday sun. And Saul gets saved in Acts chapter 9. And I'm just going to say he appeared to him. And he's going to appear again out here in the clouds. And we're going up to meet him in the air. There are some places out there that are heavenly places. Look with me in Ephesians again. Look in chapter 1. Notice verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? Here on the earth? Where's your blessings at? They're in heavenly places out there. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us what? Sit. Where is our seats? Where did He do? Verse 7. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In heavenly places, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That word sit has to do, it's not a position, it's a seat of authority. Hang on there and turn back to Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. You come into this building, you take your seat. You have a place.
Matthew chapter 23. But this seat is not just a seat to sit down. Look what he said, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' what? Seat. All what therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe to do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. There sit in Moses' seat. It's a seat of authority. Moses had the law, and it was the seat of the law. They sit in his seat of authority over the people. That's the idea, that we're seated with Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God. He is there in God, in the light, that no man can approach unto. No man has seen nor can see. He's above all heavens today. And he's out there. He as God. He's seated at the right hand of God. But bless your heart, we are seated with him in heavenly places. In other words, folks, there's a place out there somewhere in God's universe, forever child of God, and you have your seat of authority in that place. And that's where your blessings is. Look in Colossians. In Colossians, notice in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, what is the things which are above? What do you reckon? Why did I just go through 10 minutes of? What do you got that's above out there? Your seat. The governor has a governor's seat, does he not? The president has an Oval Office. He has a seat of authority. Don't you get it, folks? We're seated above all principalities. And I can't, it just keeps on growing. But look on, he goes, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's his seat. He's number one. Okay? For if ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Glory is not a place of like heaven. It's a condition, and it's in your seat. Folks, I want to tell you something. God Almighty is going to place you as a son, and that's your reward. Do you understand? The reward of the inheritance is your seat. Now, I don't know what you're going to be doing. We're going to be reigning with Christ, and I want you to turn to Philippians, and I'm going to show you that. Then I'm going to let you go in about an hour. No, I'm not. I don't want to now. Panthers don't play till the night, so I got plenty of time. I know y'all. I'll let you out in time to beat the church crowd anyway. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You have the reward of the inheritance. That's the life to come. You have the seed of that inheritance. That has to do with your glory. Now you need to get there. How are you going to get there? The Bible says flesh and blood can't get there. You got to have a body, don't you? Look in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also, and that conversation has to do with a manner of life, and it also has to do with your life. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working, now watch it, whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. In other words, He cannot subdue all things unto Himself until you get the body and then you go to work. You know what one of your jobs is? It's going to be to subdue all of God's creation unto Jesus Christ, to bring it under His authority. Now that word, notice He said subdue. That's to bring under subjection, into obedience unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that verse? His like unto His glorious body, according to the working, whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He's going to use you to bring authority and subjection unto Himself in all of His creation out there. You have an inheritance. You have a seat. And bless your heart, God's going to give you a body like His body so you can function out there in the heavens. What a Lord. That's your inheritance. We have the body. I look forward to that body, don't you? I look forward to that time. The life that now is, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. If all this life we got to look for is here on this earth, then we're miserable people. I'm glad to tell you the good news that there's a better life out there awaits you. There's a heavenly sphere out there, a heavenly kingdom out there that you're already a part of. Turn over, look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible said, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." We're going to be a part of that kingdom. We're already in it. We're seated. We have our seats of authority. And we're seated with Christ. We're blessed. Our blessings is in heavenly places. Now, you say, "Well, I've never trusted Christ." Well, why don't you do it now? And you can have an inheritance. You can have an assurance of eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You don't get saved by coming to an altar. You don't get saved by being baptized. You don't get saved by memorizing some creed or doing some religious stuff. You don't get saved by going to church. That doesn't make you a child of God. What makes you a child of God? Trusting God's Son that He died for you on the cross. Believing on that for your salvation. Receiving Him as your Savior. You leave out of here, have an eternal life with an eternal inheritance waiting for an eternal body that you serve the Lord for all eternity. I'm glad to report unto you that that life to come is just as real as the life you're living now in that body. And you reject Jesus Christ, the life you'll be facing will be a life of destruction, a life of the wrath of Almighty God, a life of an eternal lake of fire, a life of losing your soul, your purpose for what God created you for. I stand before you, offer you life or death. Choose life. believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do that today while we stand? Would you bow your heads? If you're here and you never trusted Christ, I'm going to pray and dismiss us. I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you right now, you realize you're a sinner? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners because of what we are. We have a nature that's bad. But Jesus Christ took your old sin, paid for it, and He's offering you eternal life if you'll just believe on Him. And all you have to do is receive Him while I pray. All you have to do is, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've never been saved. I want to be saved. I want that peace. I want that eternal life. I want to know that if I leave this planet today, I'll be with Him. You can know that. While I pray, will you do that? Will you simply ask the Lord to save you? Will you ask Him right now, I'm a sinner. Lord, I want to be saved. I believe You died for me. I trust You as my Savior. I'm putting my eternal life into Your hands. Will You do that? Father, I pray, Lord, if there's one here, and there's no doubt there is, Lord, I pray that right now where they stand, they'll talk to You in their mind, and that they'll tell You in their need. Lord, I pray that they'll ask You to call upon You to save them. Oh God, I pray that this will be the day that they'll trust that You died for their sins, and they'll rely upon that and receive You as their Savior. Lord, save them. And God, we'll praise You for it. For in Christ's name we pray, amen. If you trusted the Lord, write down this day. On this day, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, believing that He died for me. And if you do that and have done that, I can tell you on the authority of God Almighty's Word, you have eternal life. You have an inheritance. And someday you'll have a body to enjoy that inheritance. And do one other thing for me. Tell somebody about it. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell them. But tell somebody, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior today. And if you hadn't done it, well, do it now. Why you gonna put off something like that? Do it now. You're at liberty to go.